Let's look into the Psalms this evening before we pray, and let me direct you to our place, which is Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we'll read the psalm, which says, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in thee. I said to the Lord, Thou art my Lord, I have no good besides thee. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their libations of blood, nor shall I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now, we have been looking at some things that the saints have said, some positions that they've taken, some postures that they've struck. And I don't mean they're posturing. I just mean that when a saint does something that's contrary to the very spirit of the age, you can't help but see something of a profile there, something of a different look at things, right? We've noticed some things they said. We've called them, for this little study, the resolutions of faith, the firm determinations of our faith. And let me just go back through them. I'll see if I can organize this chronologically. We saw the sons of Korah who said, "We will not fear though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea." We heard Moses saying to Pharaoh, "Not one hoof will be left behind, but we're all going, everything, we're leaving, we're taking everything." We heard Habakkuk say, "If nothing is on the vine, if nothing is in the field, if nothing is in the stall, what am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice yet. I will rejoice in the Lord." The father of the faithful, Abraham, as he's going up Mount Moriah, he says to the servants, "We," speaking of himself and his son Isaac, "we will return to you." All right, then going on, we got into February and we found this. Let's see, what did we find? Caleb and Joshua, as they come back to the camp, they say, "No, we saw the cities, and yeah, they're tall, and the men are big, and the gates are strong, but we shall surely overcome it." We heard Paul say, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong. And therefore, what will I do? I will boast in the Lord." This is you're catching this, aren't you? I mean, it's the great ones of the ages, and they are saying what God has given them to say in their particular circumstance right then. And these guys, bless their hearts, they never get to reduplicate what the guy in the previous generation has done. It's always a new circumstance, and always it's calling forth a new statement of their faith. Let's see, where do we leave off? We left off at Paul. Okay, then we can go on and say this, where David says, "I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you know what? I will fear no evil." Then we went on. And we heard Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, though threatened with a gruesome death, say to Nebuchadnezzar, "We will not bow down." They're giving expression to their convictions. It takes a negative form because they're having to engage in civil disobedience. No, we will not bow down, but our God will deliver us. It's a beautiful thing. Going on, we find this. Last week, David saying, "I will praise thee. I will show forth all thy glorious works. I will be glad in thee." And this is where the saint sort of rules over his own heart. And we said then that it's one thing to stand against Nebuchadnezzar, but those things may or may not come, but always we will have to stand against ourselves, our fears, our doubts, our anguish, our uncertainty. Let me add one that is, to my embarrassment, our sloth. And we'll have to say, I will serve the Lord. I will bless him. I will honor him. I will show forth all his praise. And think about that right now, right where we are in these difficult, difficult times. And we've told our kids, you can trust God. We've told our friends, he is faithful. And all of a sudden, this that we're going through right now grips the very heart of our nation. And they need to see that our profession is not just an empty one, that our boast is not just words, that we really do believe the God who is able to help us in all things. So we come here to this psalm, Psalm 16, and I was struck by verse 8, which says, "I've set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." It sounds negative, doesn't it? I will not. I will not be moved, the King James says. I will not be rattled. I will not be discombobulated. I will not be so distraught that it is as if the foundation is stripped out from under me. No, I will not be shaken. Now, this is not so much a statement of his own conviction of what he will do. It is a statement of his conviction about the future. It is a prophetic certainty? He doesn't say, "I will not shake." And I don't know if any man can actually truthfully say that, but he does say, "I will not be shaken." I cannot tell you that I will never fear again, but I can say that with the help of God, I choose not to fear. And there's a difference, isn't there? Well, I think we see this in David. David is saying, "I will not be shaken." He knows that. We were praying about it today, and the very statement of dear old brother Spurgeon comes up. If he's helped us in six troubles, he will not desert us in the seventh. And that's the same thing as saying, "He will be with me all my days, and therefore, if he's holding my hand, even if I trip and stumble a bit, I will not fall. The Lord holds my hand." Or if he's watching over me, I can tremble and shake. The earth can move. The mountains can slip into the heart of the sea. And I hear a great group of men standing there on the mountaintop saying, "We will not fear. But as for me, I can come up with this. I will not be shaken. I know this much. God will not desert me." Okay. It's an open secret. And David tells us this. How is this possible? Well, to tell you what the world says is possible is because we're weak-minded and we're easily duped and we believe what we want to believe. There. I've not told you anything you've not heard before, have I? There is a way, though. There is a way through all the murkiness of life and all the confusion and all the discouragements and all the temptations and all of it. And it is for us an open secret. And part of it's right here. Verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup that will support my lot." God is there. He has settled it. He has closed with him. There is this sense that I've had done with lesser things, and I have chosen the better portion. And what did our Lord say to a beloved sister one day? He said this to Martha. He said this, you know, your sister Mary, now she's not serving the spaghetti like you want her to, or she's not cutting up the salad or pouring the iced tea. She's sitting right there. What has she done? Well, she's chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. Verse 7. The Lord has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. This is a beautiful thought. The Lord has taught me. It's as if you hear the heartbeat of David as he reiterates the word of God as it percolates through his spirit, and it comes out in these expressions in the book of Psalms. And blessed be God. God can do this with anybody, but he did it with David. He gave to him a poetic bent, but more than that, he gave to him a receptive spirit and a marveling, wondering heart, and he would see the word of God. And how much of it did David have? You can go from the left from where you are right now, and that's about how much he had. And we have all this. But he took the word of God as much as he had at the time, and he'd ponder it. He'd think upon it. And in the night seasons even, something would come back to mind. The spirit within would begin to speak and whisper truth. This is a great antidote for sleeplessness. And though I woke up this morning and couldn't get back to sleep, I know it's true. And what I'm speaking of is the sleeplessness that comes from worry. And then the Spirit of God begins to speak and instruct you in the night. And you know the counsel of the Lord. And you know that sense of blessing. And then you're able to say, you know what? I'm not going to be shaken. Or verse 8, he says what? I have set the Lord continually before me. And he is right here at my right hand. How New Testament is this, Jeff? I mean, he is speaking of the advocate. He is speaking of God being his helper. He is describing a kind of life in the spirit where the Lord is filling his vision and coming along right beside him. And he could say, therefore, you know, he has never forsaken me. I've been in six troubles. The Lord's there. He helped me there. He strengthened me there. He enabled me there. He blessed me there. He helped me again. What am I going to say about this seventh one? He will not desert me. I've set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. What a great thing to say, to be able to look off into the future. Have you ever gotten a calendar for a Christmas present and just sort of thumb through it? And after a while you realize, whoa, this year is as long as not last year. But the months are just sort of flying along, and the weeks are slipping off like that, and then you realize that year gives way to another, and what will it hold, and what weird thing will come along, and what odd thing am I going to write in my journal, and what's the we don't know. What's the future hold? We don't know. It comes fast, and it comes unexpectedly. I'll sit myself down, and I'll say this, you know, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. He is supporting my lot. The Lord has counseled me. In fact, he speaks to me in the night seasons. The Lord is filling my vision, and he is right beside me. And this much I know from all of those evidences, even if I shake, I will not be shaken. He will establish my going out, and he will establish my coming in. He will go before me as the vanguard. He will come behind me as the rear guard. Every step I take, even if I stumble about a bit, he will hold my hand and he will keep me. I will not be shaken. This is a great thing to say. Now, we say, oh, it's easy enough for these old saints to say. And I don't think that it was. I think it's no more easy for them to say than it is for you, or it's no more difficult for you than it was for them. But we have another open secret. Well, there are lots of them in the New Testament, right? But this one I was reminded of today, and it blessed me. And I thought, well, this is the secret to all of this. I mean, we can talk about the sons of Korah and Meshach and Moses and Nehemiah and David and Paul and Habakkuk and say, oh, they're great men, they're great. And they were. But what was great about them? The Lord God of Israel. He was the one that held their hand. He was the one that counseled them in the night. He was the one that strengthened them. They're going out and coming in. And we stumble across this verse today in the book of Philippians. If just jot them, you know the verse. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, it is God who is at work in you, and I like this, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That just means that he is not just enabling us, say, oh, I'm going to go to seminary and I'm going to learn Greek. Oh, I'm terrible at languages. Well, God will help you. I'm going to go off into the mission field and being eaten by a headhunter terrifies me. Well, God will help you. And on we go. I've got to teach a room full of Sunday school kids, and that's alarming. Well, God will help you. And whatever it is that he puts you in, God will help you. He is at work in you to work for his good pleasure, to make you do that. But I'm holding this off purposefully, both to do that and to will. The want to, the desire, the ambition, the resolution. I will. In the final analysis, it's not just a matter of Moses' will or David's will or Paul's or Habakkuk's will. It's not that we're looking at men that have great possession of themselves only. And that there may be truth in that. I kind of get that feeling from Paul and to some extent from Abraham, but God is at work. God is at work. And I can tell you the great ones of the earth in heaven's view are the ones that are little in their own eyes. The ones that are strong by heaven's reckoning are the ones that are weak in this world's eyes. The ones that are great in the eyes of our Lord are the ones that the world looks at and says, well, they're nothing. And so God has, you square it and you say, well, God has chosen the weak things and the foolish things and the things that are not. And man, that pretty well sums me up. But he is at work in you and at work in me, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's encouraging, isn't it? It finally falls with its total weight. It falls on his mighty shoulders. And he can bear us up, saints. He can carry the people of God. Every last one. Let's pray.